Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
The government says new draft legislation published today will see the biggest overhaul of the planning system for 20 years. But will it really make a difference when it comes to delivering more homes? Figures provided to the government, meanwhile, by the Housing Commission show that we need to be building double the number of houses, up to 62,000 a year, to meet demand. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined now by Minister of State for Planning and Local Government, Kieran O'Donnell. And you're very welcome to the programme this evening, Kieran. Start with this new draft planning and development bill published today. Is it really going to speed up housing delivery?
I believe it will. It's the first real reform in terms of detailed reform of planning since 2000, nearly 20 years ago. What it does really, it's a consolidated bill. It continues with a lot of the aspects that were working. But what it does really is that it streamlines the planning process. So it gives certainty around timelines, and that certainly will improve in terms of getting planning permissions dealt with quicker. We'll see that with Umbar Panola in terms of timelines. They will be agreed very shortly. And then we're looking at the whole issue in terms of judicial review, that there will be timelines in there, but people will still be able to go to the courts with judicial reviews. And I think more particularly, this is the first time where people will have access to a cost protection scheme if they're going to for a judicial review. Their fees will be covered in the costs, unless it's deemed to be in some way abuse of the legislation or deemed to be vexatious or frivolous in terms of the submission.
Yeah, people will still be able to go to the courts, but this legislation will make it more difficult for example, resident associations and community groups to go to the courts to seek judicial reviews.
I wouldn't agree with that. I think what it does is it puts very much a structured approach in place. So residents can still go for judicial review, but more particularly now, if they're going with very much, and most of them are genuine cases, their costs will be covered. I think that provides a huge degree of certainty for people that are looking to go for judicial reviews. But what we want here is a balance.
So their costs will be covered, but we don't know exactly the amounts covered yet. That hasn't been established.
Well, the scheme. There's a scheme currently being worked out between our department, Department of Housing, and the Department of Climate Change and Environment, under the Our House Principles. That convention, the Department of Environment would look at that. So there will be a scheme, an administrative scheme in place. And obviously it's going to the Housing Committee at the moment for pre-led scrutiny, and many matters will come up and people will have the opportunity to discuss this bill. It's over 700 pages long with nearly 500 sections of the bill. It's an enormous bill.
Yeah, but in terms of making it more difficult, residents groups or community groups will have to demonstrate a sufficient interest with NGOs, they'll have to demonstrate a sufficient interest. They'll be expected to be incorporated as a company. They'll have protection of the environment as part of its corporate constitution, have at least 10 members, and to have passed a resolution authorise the bringing of proceedings.
Just to give clarity on that, because there is a bit of misunderstanding on that. Very simply, if residents group wish to take a judicial review, they'll have to do it obviously as named individuals now. NGOs can do it so long as they're structured in a legal structure and they have been operating for the last year and they have the company's a membership of over 10. It would be similar with residents group if they want to take it as a legal entity. But there's nothing to prevent people, residents groups or individuals, going forward for a judicial review, and more particularly now under this legislation coming in, their costs will be covered unless obviously.
So if I'm a residents group if I'm a residents group in North Dublin at the moment, say, and there's a development that we all have concern about and we want to bring a judicial review in relation to it, what changes for me now as a member of the residents group under this legislation? Do I have to incorporate as a company?
No.
Okay, so what changes?
There is really no change. The only change here is that under the legislation, if you have, we'll say, they can't go as just the name of a residence group. It has to be named individuals. So they'd have to name either one or a number of the residents going forward for it. It's about really ensuring.
And what's the point of that?
It's really, I suppose, about transparency that you've had situations whereby some groups have come forward that wouldn't fully know the details of who they are. What we want here is a system that's utterly transparent. Do we have a system, particularly in terms of judicial review, that we're now going to put timescales on particular issues within judicial review? But I think the message has to go out. This bill ensures that people can be involved at all stages of the process, from the local authority planning, from Bord Pinála to judicial review. There's nothing to prevent.
And the Green Party had voiced concerns about this particular aspect of it in the past. I know your party colleague said earlier, Dara O'Brien, that the Green Party is fully on board. Is that also your understanding, or are there concerns to be hammered out yet?
No, our colleague, Minister Malcolm Noonan, attended a press conference with us this afternoon, and very much this is a whole-of-government approach. Obviously, particular issues, that's why you have pre-led scrutiny in the Housing Committee. That will be happening starting on the 7th of February, over the following number of weeks. We'd hope that would be completed by Easter, and that the legislation will be passed by both houses in the summer, before the summer recess. Because really what we want here is we want the system to provide absolute clarity. It deals with the whole area of certainty in terms of style scales and provide
and that would be very welcome. Okay, so that's the legislation, and that will hopefully, as you say, provide some clarity in terms of timelines. I think anybody who's dealt with Bord Pinála would welcome that if we can get that. But that's only if Bord Pinála is adequately resourced to deal with the number of applications it's dealing with. And we saw the report today that in the Business Post that almost 60% of applications submitted last year under the government's fast-track planning process for new housing projects are yet to be decided by Bord Pinála. And the authors of that report, Mitchell McDermott, which is Construction Industry Consultants, they said you'd imagine this backlog could easily have been addressed by drafting in additional temporary resources from private practice, either here or from Britain. And this should be done straight away, and it's unacceptable it was allowed to get to this point.
Two aspects. This particular bill that's going through, a key element of it as well, is the whole restructuring and reform of Bord Pinála as recommended by the regulator, where effectively you'll have two elements. You now will have a decision-making board with 15, and then side by side of that, you'll have a governance board. I, along with Minister O'Brien, met with the current chair of Bord Pinála, Una Buckley, in the last week. We've asked her and her board to come up with details of how they'll deal with the backlog of planning applications that are in there.
Kieran, how has it been allowed to get to this point? Like, we all know Bord Pinála has had serious difficulties in the last year, but these consultants are pointing out that even taking that, they'd say, we know, everyone knows the board has had its issues in the last year, but they say to have so many units delayed in the middle of a housing crisis is unacceptable, and it could have been addressed, could still be addressed by drafting in additional temporary resources. Why wasn't that done last year rather than allowing 60% of applications submitted to yet be decided on, this massive backlog?
I think the governance aspect around Bord Pinála was a key element. That's why certain reports were done, more particularly with Niall Cousins' report, the regulator, to find how we'd restructure it to ensure that we separate the governance from the decision-making process of planning applications. I would have every confidence in Una Buckley and her staff. We've given additional staff for being recruited. Additional people have been appointed to the board in the last number of days. They were officially announced last number, been in place for the last number of weeks. And really, she's coming back to us with, a detailed outline of a plan in terms of dealing with the backlog, and whatever resources are required, government will provide.
Okay. What then about the planning permissions that are lying idle? Because nothing in the legislation that you're talking about today is going to deal with that, because that's all about the planning process. But we know there are an awful lot of vacant properties with full planning permission on them all around the country. I think 42,000 apartments, planning permission for 42,000 apartments in Dublin alone by the end of 2021 hadn't been commenced. What's being done about that?
Well, as you're well aware, it's a priority both for Minister O'Brien and myself and the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar that we look at these planning permissions up to 70,000 units that are out there at the moment to see how we can fast-track it. Minister O'Brien is bringing forward proposals to Cabinet how we'll deal with that, and that's a huge priority for us. But I think it needs to be acknowledged as well that the announcement today from the CSO that we had 29,850 dwelling units completed in 2022 in the first year of the housing fraud has to be recognised. That's an increase of 45% on last year. Mm. And furthermore, the number of completions in the last quarter of last year was over 9,000. That's the highest number of completions since the CEO of Kilkenny stats. So we are making progress. And we're looking to build on that again
next
year.
What's going to happen with all these planning permissions all around the country? I mentioned 42,000 units in Dublin alone in the middle of a massive housing crisis and homelessness crisis. These planning permissions lying idle.
No, that's being addressed. And the LDA, the Land Development, have been charged to look at that, to work with the local authorities as well, to see how we can activate these planning applications. They're absolutely a key element, and it's a huge priority for government, and I would expect that there will be, you know, aspects of that, and more particularly projects underway in the not-too-distant future, because that is, obviously, it's much easier to build with existing
Is it tax relief for developers? Is that the only way forward here, to try and get them to build the apartments?
No, there's two aspects here. Firstly, we have to ensure that it's viable for the building to take place, and also we have to look to ensure that they're affordable for people to purchase. So the government have a role in terms of dealing with that wedge, and that's really where we stand at the moment, and it's a huge priority for us.
And would you be in favour of tax relief for developers to try and get them to build apartments?
I have a very, very open mind. It's something, obviously, that will be considered by Cabinet, but for me, whatever gets houses and construction underway continues, but I think
it'll be considered by Cabinet, has a formal proposal be brought to Cabinet?
No, but any decision around this area will be made by Cabinet, and all I'm really saying is that everything at this stage has to be looked at, but ultimately it's a decision for Cabinet as to the precise details of the proposal we put.
Okay.
But these 70,000 units are a key focus for us as a government to get further housing projects underway.
And all needs to be done as fast as possible. Even if all of those were built, I think there might be a problem, judging by what the Housing Commission is saying today in the report that was reported on by the Irish Times, given to Dara O'Brien late last year, that Ireland needs to build up to 62,000 homes per year until 2050 to meet demand. It's almost double the current housing for all targets.
Well, Housing Commission report is out to 2050. Housing for All is we're dealing with a time scale up to 2030. And we're looking, by 2030, to be up at 40,000 units. We want to expedite the rollout of housing. We're way ahead of our targets for last year, based on the figures announced
You're not way ahead, are you?
Well, but I think it needs to be acknowledged. We're 20% ahead. That's just significant in the current climate and the background.
Well, you built 29,000 houses. You wanted to build 26,000 houses, and you were behind on your social.
You wanted to build 24,600 houses. But I'm not going to argue in figures, but all I'm saying is we needed 30,000 units built last year. The average target under housing fall is 33,000 per annum.
Yeah.
We're looking to go to 40,000 by 2030. Obviously, the final figures from the census will be out over the next number of months, and that will inform the Housing for All document itself in terms of the
numbers.
But the
government commissions this report, Kieran, which tells you what you need to do, which is to double your housing targets, and you're talking about waiting until 2030
I'm talking about that particular Housing Commission recommendation. That's up to 2050.
Yeah.
We have to. This is like.
But it's saying you need to build 62,000 homes per year until 2050.
Yeah, but you have to look at it in the round. We have to ensure we have enough people available that are able to involve in the construction sector, and we're going from a situation whereby we've come through with COVID, and the fact is that the Housing for All document is the only document around that's. That's a credible document.
Well, is it credible, though? I mean, I suppose that's the point. Is it credible if you commissioned a report, the government commissioned its own report, which really suggests it's not credible, which suggests that actually your plan is to build half as many houses as you need to be building?
That's based on various assumptions. That's a report out to 2050, not 2030.
Yeah, it is based on various assumptions. And some of the assumptions and notes in the report are that the government has failed heretofore to take into account migration and the stress on the system from migration. And that doesn't include Ukrainian refugees, 70,000 of whom came here last year with the expectations that the same number might come again this year, with Simon Harris being told as Justice Minister that 60% of those people might stay. And these figures don't even include that.
The Housing for All document is only a year in existence. And that was based on very much definite and I think very, very reasonable assumptions. What we've built today, it's 30,000, nearly 30,000 units last year. The Housing Commission will deliver the report to Minister O'Brien in July. That report...
Well, he's
Kieran,
he's had it since November. You know, things are moving too slowly.
The final report will not be delivered until July.
But we all know it now. It's January. You know, we all know these figures exist now and it's January. And we need to start planning, don't we? We need to, particularly with the stress of the system from Ukrainian refugees.
That's why the Housing for All document is there. And if we weren't meeting the targets on the Housing for All, you'd be saying you're not meeting the targets. We are, and that needs to be acknowledged.
No, I'm not saying anything of the sort. I'm saying the targets are too low. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that. Your own report is saying that.
No, the Housing Commission report, you keep, in fairness, and I take your point. However, it's out to a 2050 document. And that's 20 years beyond the Housing for All document. And this document will be informed by the figures that the final figures from the census, which will be obviously available in the over the next number of months.
Can I just finish on a point?
We are looking at all times to get as many houses built as possible. You spoke about the 70,000 units that have planning permission. Mm-hmm. We want to activate those. And that's something that government are actively working on at the moment. Minister O'Brien and the Taoiseach and other members of government, including myself. And really, it's to ensure that we get houses that are built that are affordable to people, that we deal with all other aspects.
Okay, well, sure, and we all want that, I understand. All right, Minister, thank you very much for joining us. That's Minister Kieran O'Donnell. You can let us know what you think to 51551.